This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not an offer or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell securities. SNN Network, SNN Inc., and the Planet Microcap Podcast and the representatives are not licensed brokers, broker-dealers, market makers, investment bankers, investment advisors, analysts, or underwriters. We do not recommend any companies discussed. We may buy and sell securities in any company mentioned and may profit in the event those securities rise in value. We recommend you consult with a professional investment advisor, broker, or legal counsel before purchasing or selling any securities referenced in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft. Thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in. Do me a quick favor. If you like what you hear at Planet Microcap, please take 2 seconds to give us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple. This helps with the search engine so that more folks can also discover and engage with all things microcap stocks. The Planet Microcap Showcase Vegas happening April 30, May 2nd, 2024 at the Paris Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas is around the corner. Our event brings together the best investors and thought leaders in microcap, quality microcap investing opportunities, and above all else, the most fun and highest return on your time that you could ask for. If you'd like to register to participate, please visit planetmicrocapshowcase.com. See you in Vegas. Now, my guest on the show today is Maj Swaydun, founder and editor, and Jan Svenda, senior equity analyst at GeoInvesting. We're trying something out here at Planet Microcap where on a weekly or bi-monthly basis, Maj and Jan will be hopping on the show to discuss recent performance of their Tier 1 quality microcap index, as well as the latest and greatest they have been covering on the MS Microcaps Substack and the GeoInvesting newsletter. We're also going to spotlight some names from their index inspired by their recent performance. For example, in today's inaugural episode, we covered SPAR Group. Ticker is SGRP, and FitLife, ticker FTLF. As part of our conversation on classic info ARP, short for information arbitrage, Maj and Jan also cover Taylor Devices, ticker TAYD, and Crawford United, ticker CRAWA. We discussed a number of stocks during our interview today. Maj and Jan also may or may not own some of the companies that comprise their Tier 1 quality microcap index. Please see MS Microcaps and GeoInvesting for full disclosure. Thank you again for tuning into the Planet Microcap podcast, and please enjoy my conversation with Maj Swaydun and Jan Svenda. Dudes, thank you for joining me today. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Hey, Bobby.
All right. Very cool. Thank you guys for joining me. So I just want to give a quick preface, and I said a little bit in the intro, but I'm going to say it again here. So what we're going to be trying to do on either a weekly or bi-monthly basis is we want to kind of take our weekly wrap up to even a next level. Right now we put out on the Planet Microcap Substack newsletter, our weekly wrap up of, you know, what's been going on in the Planet Microcap Index, which kind of gives a general overview of what's going on in microcaps. But, you know, we did an interview with Maj and Jan about a month ago, something like that. But where we talked about their MSM Tier 1 quality index. And we thought it might be kind of fun to actually have them on, like I said, on either a weekly or bi-monthly basis to kind of go over the performance of that Tier 1 index, as well as some other things that might be on their minds, because they publish one of the best microcap newsletters in the game. They didn't pay me to say that, I promise. But with that, not yet. So Maj, Jan, I figured we'd start off with, before we get into kind of overall performance, give me like that quick, you know, one or two lines exactly what the MSM Tier 1 quality index is for anybody that missed that pod. I'll put a link in the show notes for that one, but just a quick overview so that people know what we're talking about, and then we'll get into the last week's performance.
Sure, Bobby, thanks. And just to be clear, Jan works for MS Microcaps and Geo, so he's an analyst for both my companies. I think earlier you said Geo, but he's my analyst on both sides of the coin there. So he's really been a big part of launching MSM with me over the last, you know, 2-3 years trying to get it all ready. But think of MSM as the pipeline of research that kind of fuels Geo,
you know. And to clear things up, MSM stands for MS Microcaps. Their newest.
Yes. Okay. And the M is for moment, not my name, or miss, like you thought. Although we are in a very, you know, interesting time.
I still like Miss Microcap. Microcast. Yeah. I think that's hilarious.
Hey, don't joke about that. I'm going to sue you. The M stands for a momentum, like price momentum. The S stands for sustainability of business, you know, and of course the M The last M stands for micro caps. So we're looking for these, really stocks that can maybe have good price momentum in the near to medium term, that have sustainable long term kind of businesses in the market that beats the market, that beats all other markets in micro caps. Now, really quick then, so these are my cliff notes, and these are my MSM is basically a compilation of my cliff notes, that kind of I've always written down anyway, and I would pick which ones I would want to bring to GO. And so I decided, why don't I just make that a whole platform and just put those all out there? So because GO is more of a big platform of videos and morning emails, weekly emails. There's a lot of information going on there. MSM is a very hunting ground for all these stocks. Very a much more focused kind of slower product on that whole thing. So now, so our goal here really though is to build this tier one universe over time. So right now there's 87 cliff notes, and every cliff note goes into what we call our tier one quality index, and we've been building this index now for 2 years. So I think what you're going to see happen over time, it's going to become a great hunting ground for the best quality, nanos and microcaps in North America, U.S., Canada right now,
Very cool.
and the performance has been pretty incredible. And so we're really happy about that, and we're going to talk about some of the things we're doing next year to really kind of continue to add value to our members and subscribers who are subscribing to it.
Very cool. All right, that was a perfect overview. And I think, like I said, for anybody that wants to hear the full conversation where we get into some of Majin Yan's criteria for the tier one quality index, all that stuff, we cover that in our, I guess we can now call it our intro pod at this point, or also go subscribe to the Substack, and they outline all their main criteria for the index itself. So, I think, Maj, should I throw it to Jan for the performance? So we're recording this for everybody to know on Monday, April 8th, 2024. We're going to be covering data that tracks from April 1 to April 5, 2024. This is a new kind of thing. So we're going to try and do this on Fridays most weeks, but we're recording on Monday the week after. So, Jan, how did the tier one index do last week?
I'm gonna share my
For
screen real
sure.
quick so y'all can eat.
Yeah,
Y'all can.
exactly. I
Okay.
wanted to
All right.
ask. And actually, for the performance that we have on the presentation, we actually have the monthly data. So we will be talking about the weekly movers, but we can talk about the monthly performance of the index. And yeah, if Maj, you just go on the next slide. I mean, which is
Yeah.
the disclaimer, obviously, but Bobby has that covered, I'm sure. On the chart that you're going to see is basically a comparison of the Cliff Note Index or the Tier 1 Quality Index versus SPY and NASDAQ over the whole period, so until March of this year. And you can see that basically the whole thesis behind the index is really working very well, even as we add more stocks, right? So the whole idea is that we can pick the quality microcaps that are going to outperform the market over the long period of time. And it's happening in real time right now. We started in February 2022, and since then the index kind of started to outperform the broader market, SPY and NASDAQ. And for March, we had about 7% gains, really like a blowout month for us. And now, we are up basically up slightly over 40%. In terms of all the stocks and index, right? So that's on average the current return. And you can see the SPY is compared to our index is maybe like down 10, 15% or something like that. So that's a huge difference. And we added five stocks for March, and the return has not been getting worse. So we're really confident that actually that the quality stocks that we add over time, they really perform well. And they don't really damage the performance of the index, so we're very happy with that. And that's you live and die by this, right? Like you have to outperform the market. Not a lot of people do. We're doing it in a big way, so we're very happy with that. Right now, as Mai said, we are 86, 87 stocks. It changes as we add more as we add more stocks. But yeah,
We
that's the
added
wrap
one
up for
more.
the month. Yeah.
We added one more last night. That's why it's not on there. So,
Yeah, exactly
yeah,
right.
but
But
yeah.
yeah, that's it. That's it. We're very happy, and there's a lot of stats on the Substack that talks about the performance a bit more, and how we drill into it, and You know how we had already 22 multi-baggers, basically stocks that return over 100%. So, you know, a lot of good things. We obviously had also stocks that lost a lot, but you know, since this is a passive index, we don't remove anything. So, you know, once we add it, you can just track it, and it's very, very transparent. And yeah, clearly shows that there's something to it. There's something to, you know, Maj's investing track record for the past 30 years. Like, who would not know, of course, that, you know, it's a great one. And we're delivering. Yeah.
We're at about, what, 70%, around 67% of stocks are up. And the rest, that's kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of like really the historical hit rate that we've been hitting. Yeah, two thirds are up, one third is down. But on average, the stocks are up about 40%. So
well,
yeah,
I think we're going to try. And I think that's going to, we're really concentrating more now on more, even more quality. When we first started the index, I was fooling around a little bit and put some like less quality stuff in the very beginning here and there. So I think the quality of stocks are going to get stronger. So my goal is to try and get to 80% success rate if I can. That's where I was early in my career many years ago. And I want to see if I can get that, replicate that too. But what's cool about this, Bobby, is that it's showing that you can, you know, diversified portfolio of the high quality nano caps can produce great returns. You know, and there's this whole like concentration versus diversification thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to be concentrated if you're right, but but you don't have to take as much risk and you can have some really good returns.
100%.
But you have to be willing to own a lot of stocks. And I don't, you know, Jan and I are still trying to figure out, is it, you know, is what's the optimal amount of stocks maybe to own the index? You know, we obviously, I don't think the average person can own 86 stocks, right? So we're trying to figure out now, what do we do next? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later here.
Got it. All right. So let's head to that next slide. Cause I think you also have, your movers top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, one thing I'm going to point out really quick here is the subsector column. I wanted to show you how wrong this can be. And I'll tell you, we're sourcing this data from a third party, who I won't say who it is, for the subsectors. And I want to show it because it shows how bad these third party kind of information sources can be when they're looking at these nanocap stocks. So I mean, if you look at some of these, you'll recognize FitLife, FTLF. Is it personal products? Okay, yes, but really it's nutritional supplements, right? And it's sports specific products. So what we're gonna, and if you look at even SGRP, SGRP isn't really advertising. It's more of brand management, helping retailers have better brand merchandising at their locations, and then collecting data for them on that. That's not really advertising, but that's how they do it. So our index is going to really start now digging into these names more to get a much better kind of representation of what they really do, which will take a lot of manual effort on our part. So that's something I want to really, really highlight here. But if you look at the top five movers, so one thing that's really cool is we have now, you know, we just started doing this about a few weeks ago to see how our index is performing, so we can help us maybe do research here and there and see if there's stocks in there that we should be looking at. Now our goal is like to see if the stocks are, they're going up, deserve to be going up, and stocks are going down, they deserve to go down, to see.
Well, Maj, let me cut you off real quick. Like, how do we define weekly movers here? Are you talking about, is this is for last week, April 1 through 5, like they stock price, I mean, you know, they went up, the SGRP went up 92.9% last week. Like what it did? Jan?
Yeah, yep. It did. And what's cool about this too is,
what the
it's from the index. Yeah. So just to make sure, like, I mean, the weekly movers are just from the Cliff Note index, right? The tier one quality index. So
right.
we publish our research, we add it into the index, and we track it on a weekly basis. And yeah, SGRP went 92% up. Yeah.
And that's been on the index for a little bit. You know, and every stock here you see will also have a Cliff Note with it. So you know why we added it.
Okay.
The cool thing about it is, even though I added it maybe 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I can go back in my Cliff Notes and say, okay, what the hell's going on now? And what was interesting in our original Cliff Note, we kind of talked about how the corporate structure of the company was a little messy, which would maybe depress the valuation, and something they should take care of at some point. And the reason it went up last week was because they just did that. They cleaned up they sold one of their assets. I think it was a joint venture that had like a Brazil and South African kind of exposure. And they just basically sold that asset, raised it like 20 million in cash. It already had 10 million in cash on the books. So the stock was at a buck. We should probably should put the prices in here next time, Jan, to have the prices in here so we can just show what the prices are. I think like a buck 30. And when you did all the, it was selling it basically almost like cash. And what was crazy, that move to 92% didn't happen in one day. Multiple days, which was kind of cool too. So you could have bought the stock only a matter of,
On decent volume too. This isn't just like a
crazy
liquid.
volume. Yeah.
Okay.
So now the issue. So basically, what you had here was you had a re-rate. I mean, from a trading, a book under book maybe or at cash, to maybe a little higher now. So now the next question for the company is that we will be asking MS. And so I already put a call into the company because I want to interview them now. Is okay, what are you gonna do with all that cash now? They already put a dividend in play. I mean, sorry, they already put a buyback program in play right away. And now they have the cash to maybe be more acquisitive to maybe ramp up growth a little bit. So my next goal now is to see, can they get the next level of re-rate and evaluation by proving they can grow the company? And that remains to be seen. And how profitably they can be doing it. I think they actually are, we're already forecast to be profitable before this move. Now, what's cool too is that they would be in this customer experience category, industry. Well, like helping, they're helping clients understand their customers better. And if we, there was a time where that industry was doing, the outlook wasn't so hot, as you can imagine, during inflation and fear of recession. A lot of companies weren't spending money on customer experience, not understanding where the economy was going to go. Now that we maybe avoid the recession, who knows? I think there's a little better feel from customers. So they're maybe putting more money in customer experience. And if you look at the stats, customer experience, I think, was when you look at one of the when you look at the marketing managers at companies, now has become one of the biggest areas of spend they want to do moving forward. So now this might turn into an interesting growth play. If the Dell hits right. So that's, do we, I own it, by the way, I should say I do own some SGRP. I bought it last week on the news there. And we actually, issued an alert out. We covered the news on Geo for us and we put an alert out to our MSM Cliff Notes that we were, looking deeper into this. But it was cool to be able to bring that company from the Cliff Note, look what it was, look what we wrote, look what's going on now, and kind of give us a framework. And that's what's great about Cliff Notes. These Cliff Notes, if you don't buy a stock on day one, if it's in your watch list, you just have a reference point where you can go back and check it out. And that's, this is proof one in like in
For
real
sure.
time.
No, and that's why this is kind of fun for us to try out and do on a weekly basis, because you see stock going up 92.9% in a week, that warrants discussion and a deeper dive into why exactly that happened. So that's pretty cool there. Full disclosure, I do not own SGRP nor any of the stocks that we're going to be talking about here today, as part of the movers or decliners or whatever, what have you. So
And by the way, right, this is a nano cap company with blue, Fortune 500 clients, real revenue. I think over 100 million in revenue. I'm not sure off the top of my head,
gotcha.
but
Okay.
yeah.
So, I mean, two others that also stand out on here. I mean, FTLF, obviously, that number of folks that we all know have been talking about that name, FitLife, for a little bit here. So, I mean, the move, as compared to SGRP, not as crazy, but, over the 2 year percent change, it's up almost 200%, 108.22%. In your opinion, what are some of the reasonings for what's going on there?
Yeah, cool. And FitLife was added, I think, to the portfolio back in, maybe you could pull that up, Jan. I think it was in 2022, maybe, or 20, I can't
So yeah,
remember.
September 22.
Yes. So again, another one of those situations where we had it on there, and we added it when they had just, there was some kind of FUD there. Stock was going down, was on the OTC. There was fear that they weren't going to be able to list on the NASDAQ. They were had some, like, I think, restatement of financials. But we use that as an opportunity to take a closer look at it, because up until then, Dayton Judd, who is the CEO, his turnaround has been immaculate, his turnaround story. And we got a hold of one of his shareholder letters where he talked about, hey, don't worry about this. We're still on track to, get everything, up to date and still have goals to be in the NASDAQ. And we believe that they talked about making an acquisition at the time. They were looking for acquisitions that would significantly grow the size, double the size of the company. And shortly after that, they made one. So that was the table that was set. Fast forward now, they're back on the NASDAQ now. Or I don't know if they even were. I think they're on the NASDAQ for the maybe first time. I'm not quite sure. And they made it. And the cool thing here, they also acquired some assets from MusclePharm. MusclePharm was a company went Chapter 11. I'm sorry, actually Chapter 7 bankruptcy. I mean, I used to own MusclePharm actually back in the day. It turned out to be one of my a bad investment for me. MusclePharm was going through a. They're another kind of sports nutrition. Company has had some really checkered history, pretty bad balance sheet, and when I came across it on Geo, actually that was in 2020. They were just maybe first quarter of 20. They were just going through the restructuring was kind of getting to a place where it looked like it would be profitable. And they actually broke even. I think or made a penny or something. So we decided to take a look at it, interview the company, had a re and we kind of believed in their restructuring and. Inflation comes along, they don't manage their they didn't manage their gross margins correctly. That was the excuse that they gave. Long story short, it looks like there was actually some fraud that played out there apparently. In the yeah, with the financial statements, company goes bankrupt. Apparently, and so Dayton Judd takes an opportunity to go maybe buy some of these assets out of Chapter 11 Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Because a lot of these brands had really good cachet. The one thing that MusclePharm did a good job of was wasting a lot of money on endorsements, Tiger Woods and other to really grow revenue at one point and not make money, but at least build the brand. So Dayton has the advantage of that brand already being built. So now he's going to take these assets, which he bought, I think for $20 million. I'm not sure. And now put him right through a FitLife kind of. Distribution kind of marketing platform, which basically is now mostly online. When Dayton took over, it was more brick and mortar with GNC. And he factored the receivables and decided to make an online kind of strategy. So now he's got this really nice plug and play kind of model. Looks like I talked to Dayton once or twice actually. He's really focused. He knows his KPIs and he understands the marketing of his business so well. And really confident that he's going to make this work. So the cool thing about what we like here, they just reported some good numbers. I think it was Q4 numbers, which the market didn't react right away, which we couldn't believe. But was he did kind of disclose some information about MusclePharm and how they're going to start bringing those products online now. I think the first one's a combat bar, which I think at its peak was doing $25 million in revenue. And what Dayton also said in the release was that it looked like that should be done with very little OpEx. If you read the conference call transcript, actually, it talks about that. So there should be this really nice layer on our revenue. He's being very conservative in his guidance on the revenue with very little expense. So you're going to have this operating leverage coming from. If you start doing the math, you can start getting the 40 to 50% EPS numbers on a quarterly run rate basis. Stock selling at maybe $28 today. If they go to $2 run rate of earnings, this could be at some point be easily a 25p in this thing minimum, I think, because it's going to be the maybe leader in the pack, and it's a $50 stock, potentially. Even right now at $1.50 trailing earnings, you put a 25p, on that, it's still significantly, I think, in the high 30s, right? So. That's basically where we're at with this one. And then the cool thing about this is like, is this one of those lessons in nanocap land or multi-packer land where some of these operators just get better as time goes on? This is one of those, I put a tweet out like sometimes, it's awesome when you buy more of a stock you own after multi-bagged because you're getting this extra confidence. This guy has kept performing and performing and performing. So the confidence actually build in him as the price has gone up. And a lot of people will look at a chart and say, well, I'm not even touching that stock because it's gone up. But that's kind of what the story is embodying. It's looking really special right now. He's got more acquisitions to do. So one thing we did do, so now we have all these, and this is what we're going to talk about later. I'll just do it now because it's a good time to talk about it. is that because we have all these 80s, you know, we have all these stocks now, we can start going out there and start looking at like these what we call spotlight stocks. And FTLF was the first spotlight that we picked out of there, that out of all 87 stocks. We basically put a tweet out, hey, we are looking for one stock to highlight. Who's it going to be? And we decided to make it right before they released their earnings, or maybe was it before, or maybe after, because it's not going to move. That was our spotlight. So that's, I guess, already up maybe 12%
No.
since then. But that's an interesting kind of the long story of FitLife.
No, for sure.
I have no short stories, Bobby.
I was just gonna say, like, if we're gonna, I was gonna say, if we're gonna, I think how we'll do this, we'll try not to go through every single one on both on each of the mover slides. We'll pick out one or two based on, you know, things that stick out. Obviously, FTLF has
Right.
been a microcap, you know, cult stock for how many years now? And then of course seeing SGRP, you know, going up almost 93% a week, like that bears discussion. And I think we covered that pretty well. So, you know, I invite anybody who's listening into this, check out the video version because we have the slides up there. You can check out all the top five just so I can read them out. Was SGRP, that was up 92.9%. FSI was up 20.2%. QBAK was up 17%. FTLF was up 16.6%. And NINE was up 16.1% on the week, April 1 through April 5, 2024. And let's move to the next slide and we'll, you
Let
know, pick out
me
one.
add, I own
Yeah.
SGRP, I own FIT, FTLF, and I own some QBank. And I will throw this quick out one-liner out. If you're interested in the AI kind of looking for legitimate AI stocks that are going to benefit from AI, QBank is an interesting one where it's basically does off the cloud or off-site storage on disk drives and stuff, tape storage drives. So basically it's playing in that whole data is coming at us like at 100 miles an hour. Some of it has to be stored, you know, off the traditional ways, and that's what QBank is doing. So it's having a
Gotcha.
resurgence in business because of that.
Yep.
So
Quite illiquid as well. It made a
it was
move
very, very illiquid, which is why I
very
love
illiquid. Yeah, I know, but you love
it.
the illiquid. Hey,
Yes.
Jan, I gotta ask you too, man. Do you own any of
Yeah.
the Okay.
Yeah. FDLF is for me out of the five.
Got it. All right, let's go to the next slide. Let's see who wasn't so lucky last week. All
Yeah.
right. So all right, a couple things stand out here. CMTL, NXGL, CDTI, SVT, and FALC. Hey, actually, NXGL is going to be presenting in Vegas April 30 through May 2nd, 2024, if I could throw a plug in there. So, a couple things stand out here. Okay, these are moves that happen throughout a week. 23.3% for CMTL down, 21.2% down for NXGL, 16.2% down for CDTIs, 12% for SVT, and then 11.7% for FALC. So, I mean, you know, for you, Maj, what stood out the most amongst these five as to, you know, these various moves?
Yeah, I'll wrap it up. So CMTL was one of our worst performers in the index, actually, in general. And we got caught off the guard. It was a debt. We thought it had a great earnings momentum coming up, great estimates, great backlog, great long-term contracts. The CEO at the time this is a relatively new entry for us in the index, was basically restructuring the company to have more longer-term visibility. The big elephant in the room was a lot of debt coming due financing in I think October of this year. We added it to the index at the end of last year with the bet. Now you can that's you that they will fix the debt problem and refinance because of the comments they made publicly about being able to do that. We believed them. We were wrong, and stock is going down now because they passed the time where the CEO said they would restructure by. He got canned. So now that's what we're dealing with there. But it will be very interesting. At this now, you know, we like these buy and pullback opportunities. We like looking a lot of these stocks that go down, which is why we follow the bottoms too. Is there any opportunity in the bottom? So I think at some point, if they do restructure this thing, they can get it done without too much dilution. It will be a really interesting thing for me to get excited about at some point. NextGel, don't own any of NextGel. I don't know if I own any CMT. I don't think I do. Maybe I have some options, but I don't think I do, Bobby. That's how I was playing that for a while. NextGel, they make this gel that goes into like medical devices or the pads. You know, you put like on your transdermal pads you would put on your skin, you know, to administer medication. These things, it's relatively new to our index, and we're just following it because they have some insane earnings per share potential and estimates because of a deal they linked with a large pharma company that wants to use their product. I'm not a big fan of their investment banker. I won't say who they are. So this one is a risky stock that we put on here just in case, because if the numbers are right, now this stock is about $2, and I'm putting this in a very low probability right now. But if they are right, the stock's probably a $20 stock if they hit those numbers. But I'm getting a little suspicious in terms of their ability to start really. I'm looking into that contract that they have with that company to see if more about it. But the one thing that brings up, by the cool thing about an 86 stock index, and you have this divergent index, you can have these speculative bets and have it not really kill you, hurt your index. The average index is still up, we're up over 40% on average. So, but we still have these losers, and it makes investing fun for us because we can do things we wouldn't normally wouldn't do. For example, on Geo, I'm trying because I can add these more of these kind of speculative and fun mixed stocks in here. CDTI, really quick, is not an auto parts equipment company, by the way. It's more it's a nano materials company. Totally fuck dark company. I wouldn't pay it. It has a big spread. They report their earnings once a year, so this is one of those really illiquid things we just try to throw in there because we can, because we got a lot of stocks.
Grow in because we can.
because we can.
No, not that it meets your criteria by any means. No, we're just gonna throw,
But it actually did meet our criteria to some degree, but
Okay.
these guys don't put out financials, so like they put them once a year. I mean, I don't even I think they're due now, and
How
I
lucky
tried to
are you?
call a company a few times, and but I said, why not?
How
I'll
lucky are
throw
you to have an index that's so qualitative you could just throw it in there where you can? Here I
it.
am, just like, I have to,
It is up though a lot though, but that's I think because of the liquidity of it.
Got it.
SVT, I don't have any real. I didn't really look at SVT. I think that's an activist kind of restructuring going on there. Falcon's an interesting one.
You own SVT or CDTI?
I don't own SVT. I gotta get back in CDTI. I'm gonna actually, Jan, can you text Manuel? Maybe smash him, see if we if I own because I can't use my computer here because I'm long story.
Project Mania. Oh, okay.
Yeah. If I own a CDTI.
Okay.
And if you look at Falk, actually this is a stock we added early in the index's construction. And this one we added was because it was a typical situation where a company was going from a on-premise or more of a lumpy licensing software model, selling a one-off license, big money, and it's lumpy, to recurring revenue model. And I think now that transition has kind of been at, even though it's on the big mover list at the bottom, it's been hitting highs recently. It's just pulled back. But they do cybersecurity type of software to protect data. And now I didn't look much into it originally. Now I want to. And then went back to my notes, check it out because of what's going on. And I went to their filings and they mentioned some stuff about AI in there. So I definitely piqued my curiosity to some degree. So we're looking into that a little more now. But I do own some FALC.
Got it. Okay. And then Jan.
On me is just Falk actually.
Very cool. All right. And next slide. Let's see what else we got is on the agenda today.
Right. So basically, again, what we're doing here, we're trying to start now that we have the 80 some stocks in the index, we got 2 years of returns on our back. We can start analyzing the index, see what more we can do with it to make it easy for our subscribers at MS Cliff Notes on the Substack to consume, because it's a lot to consume. And now the value add stuff we'll be doing now is breaking down this index into sub indexes, getting better with the industry tags. For example, we created an AI index already. We're going to create a dividend index soon. And we're just going to keep on going with that theme to make it much more consumable. We're also going to start nimbly doing these spotlight stocks, which I just talked about with FitLife FTLF, which I disclosed I own, to see how that works. But this is more of a, this really isn't a stock picking. We're not out here building, stock picks and rah, 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 waving our hands. It's really more of a platform to help investors understand how to write cliff notes and how they can use it in their own journey if they're newer investors or experienced investors start sifting through this universe to find their own stocks. And with once doing everything we can to make it easier to that for that, once in a while throwing in maybe some of our higher conviction thoughts throughout the index.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that was really cool of us wrapping through the, you know, this first wrap up of top performers, decliners for the week. You know, I mean, any high level, what would you say is your number one high level takeaway from last week in terms of performance amongst these 86, now 87 stocks? Any notable outside of, let's say, the top five or bottom five that had some interesting earnings that maybe just the market didn't recognize, or earnings that you were surprised that the market recognized in a positive and or negative way?
Yeah, I haven't, gone through, breaking the earnings down yet, Bobby, of the whole index yet. So maybe that'd be a good maybe conversation for next week.
100%. Yeah,
this last week's been really busy just going through all the earnings reports, and now it's time to go back and analyze them. One thing that was interesting was Hammond Power, which I don't own anymore, HMDPF, which we actually highlighted on Geo, MSM. It was one of the stocks we took from MSM to put on Geo, which is a great performer. I think we highlighted it at $13 on Geo. I think it went over 100 recently. So it's basically we're trying to get our first out, our 1,000 percenter. And right now that leads the index at like 700 and some percent, I think. So Hammond Power is a great case study because it was a nano cap with big cap revenue approaching $1 billion, reported at that time maybe several quarters in a row great earnings for growth, was selling at a PE of maybe 7 or 8, or maybe around 10-ish, and just no one cared about it, and they were going through an expansion in their. The reason we liked it so much because they had that already 3 or 4 great quarters in a row. They were going through an expansion in their manufacturing capacity to significantly increase sales capacity. We've noticed that analyst estimates didn't take into account in their estimates that potential extra capacity. So we prefaced that earnings would continue to grow. And our thing was, we wonder if can we get a double whammy? Can we get the earnings growing while the PEL is also expanding? That's what you want. The stock got the $40, still a PE of 10. It didn't expand. So, and now it's at 100. It finally got to over, I think, over a 20 PE. That's just a perfect example of what you want in a garbish, boring nano cap, this low PE stock that can grow its earnings and get a re-rate in the PE ratio also. It's the perfect setup that you want. So we want to find obviously more of those. And it also goes against the whole, all nano caps are crap. Because this was a legitimate company with legitimate revenue, with not a lot of shares outstanding, not crazy shares. It was liquid enough. But it was just a great multi-bagger story, man. And it shows also you don't have to be an investor for 10 years in the market to find a multi-bagger. We are trying to find stocks, and that's a really key point here, Bobby, why we look at earnings all the time and why we have qualitative and quantitative factors for the index. It's really important. We are trying to find stocks in the meat of a growth cycle. So Yon has created the tier one universe, which I don't know how many stocks it is right now. And from that tier one universe, we're creating the tier one index, which is maybe at the time, maybe the more, I hate to use the word timely, but stocks are going through these meat of a growth cycle or a new catalyst that should re-rate the growth multiples or PE multiples or cause more growth. You put those all together, and it works. So you can have these short-term gains while you're waiting for the long-term multi-baggers too. The index gives you this whole opportunity to have both of it going on, short-term stuff, long-term stuff. And it's just going to get, I think it's going to get better with time. That's why we're seeing it accelerate. But of course, there's going to be a crash one day. It's going to be a very sad day for our podcast. Well, it's going to come down. But the cool thing about that is that when it comes down, we're going to have a hunting ground to go hunting when everything falls apart and when this index is, maybe negative one day, which we expect it to be one day. It's going to happen. You just can't avoid it.
Yeah, but why are we going to talk about that right now? No. Crash. No.
I don't want to jinx it.
It's already been a three-year shit show for microcaps. We're talking crashes now? Come on. Come on, man. We're still sifting through the rubble. of this time right now. Come on, dude. Very cool. Well, no, I'm excited to keep doing this and digging through all these various ideas and going through the tier one universe and whatnot. So we got more to talk about. I think you wanted to go through like some examples from go let's to the next here. Slide. Yeah,
I want to talk concept. About
okay. Let's see this.
So we only have the in the beginning of this podcast the MS Meyercap disclaimers. We do talk about Geo. So if you are watching this podcast, understand that Geo has its own set of terms and conditions that you agree to them as you're if you're watching this or listening to this event, and you can visit them at geoinvesting.com to see to read our terms and conditions. If you don't agree with them, hang up right now. Or so. One thing I wanted to talk about really quick on the Geo side was information arbitrage. You know, I kill that word all the time, right? I beat it to death, but it simply is being able to take information in the Meyercap space that goes unnoticed because everyone's ignoring the space, capitalize on public free information, buy a stock before information is found out by anybody else, and then make money on it. So I just wanted to throw a few cases, a case here. Crawford, CRAWA, a diversified industrial company, is a company that's been on Geo for some time, one of our better performers now. I think it's gone from $10 out of over maybe 40 bucks now. We hit 47, I think, recently. I do own the stock, by the way, have for a long time. And this is an InfoWarb where they put out an 8K. Now, the company has been growing their earnings for a few quarters. Stock was really moving that much. And I think it's selling under a 10 PE. And the company puts out this 8K where it talks about them approving a buyback program out of the blue of $7 million of stock prior to June 2024. And that was this release was put out during 2024. I don't have the date here, but that was pretty bullish. And then also, now this is basically the creditor of the creditor of the company allowing, basically giving them permission to do this. They also let them basically give them permission to increase the amount of dividends they can pay if they wanted to pay them in the future. So that just the stock just sat there like you know, $26 forever. And we even tweeted it out and no one even cared. I mean, some people cared about it, but the stock is still sitting there and didn't do much. Basically, the company begging you to buy the stock. You know, then I guess they eventually end up putting out a press release when no one listened to them in the AK. And a few weeks later, or 2 weeks later, they put the press release out. More people saw it. And then now the stock's, you know, $40. So this is just a great example of how information arbitrage works. And dude, it's happening more now. It's happening more than I've ever seen it. You would think that it's getting more efficient in the space. It's getting less efficient. And these time lags are getting incredibly even longer, not shorter. Some of these illiquid, especially this value trap type, you know, looking names that have low PEs and stuff. So that's a great example of one. Here's the, you know, chart of it. You can see there. TOID is another one, Taylor Devices. This stock makes, you know, structural kind of equipment basically to help stabilize structures and maybe buildings or even equipment. So the commercial markets and defense markets. They do a lot of work in California with structural work of buildings because of earthquakes. And this interesting setup here that I want to talk about was January 10th. This is on Geo. We highlighted the company. Had a decent quarter, not great quarter, but buried in the release was a comment about the company buying back $9 million worth of stock from a large shareholder who actually made a bid for the company, and obviously failed. So the stock opened up barely up in the morning. You could have bought a bunch of stock, you know, and then it just went up and ripped the rest of the day. That was $27. Stock today, I think, then we had the earthquakes last week. Stock had $60 last week, on top of another good earnings report. So, you know, these companies, like, telegraphing this stuff to us. And they telegraphed this stuff, like, $30 ago that, you know, that they think. Now, the cool thing about a TUID, for example, is it's been one of these like sleepers for years, been around for years, not really progressing that much, you know, staying profitable, growing revenue, waiting for that one moment. And if you were able to identify that moment, you could have made a good amount of money, basically understanding that the past has changed. It's not, you know, the future is better than the past and not the status quo anymore. And if you're an investor, won't do that, there you go. So this will be a stock we should have had in the index. Both of these we didn't have in the index. Or I think maybe Craw was, but TAYD wasn't. I got to go back and check. I own both of these companies, Bobby. So, you know.
Beautiful. Thank you. You know, I think if you're watching this on if you're watching this on YouTube, by the way, not to take away from, you know, everything that you just said, because I think you did a great job in highlighting both of these. Full disclosure, I'm not a shareholder or anything, but it's kind of funny. Jan keeps going in and out, but I feel like it's from the eclipse.
It's
interrupting him right now.
No. Sorry about that. My video died for some reason. I had to switch it, but yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're good. Cool, man. All right. So Maj, you know what? We're coming up on like, I think 40, 50 minutes here. Any closing thoughts for this week? Anything to look forward to this week before we call it a day?
Yeah, I just want to put a shout out, by the way, to the Twitter guy here, Mudlark Capital. He did some work on TAYD, which we noticed, which basically implied that maybe the company could see a double in its revenue base. So that was some cool infowire that he did work on the stock himself. So he's at Mudlark Capital on Twitter. I think that's, you know, really, you know, I want to talk about value traps. Maybe we can do that next time.
I think so. We'll
talk about how the value traps, are we rating in the market, and how we think this is creating an incredible opportunity for investors who are willing to go against the grain a little bit.
Very cool. Hey, Jan, real quick on TAYD or CRAWA, do you own either of those names?
Like for this week, I own both of them.
Okay, cool.
You hear me well?
Yeah. I can, all right. Yeah, I can. Perfect.
And I think for us on the Cliff Notes side as well, on the Tier 1 Quality Index, we're going to be really drilling down further into the index, creating the AI index, you know, and really having a bunch of cool stuff coming in. So I think we're really getting there, and being focused on how to extract the most value out of it.
Excellent. All right, dudes. Well,
way, I own Mule and I own SGPR. I do not own Verx. I missed the 300% move on Verx. I sold it before it went up. So you know,
they were in our index for a couple quarters in a row there. That's for sure. not a shareholder in any three of those. Well, listen, I think next week we'll do a review, and then also I think we should do a quick little sound bites on. You know, you're going to be doing the Tier 1 track in Vegas for our conference, April 30 through May 2nd. We should go through a few of those names that you're going to be doing Q&As with as well. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. All right, dudes, where can people go and subscribe to MS Microcap's newsletter as well as to Geo Investing?
Yeah, so the MS newsletter is on Substack, and they can just go find it there. And Geo Investing, you can go to geoinvesting.com, and you can take currently a free trial. We don't know how long we're going to have a free trial up, but for now, it's a free trial. Our membership has been growing pretty nicely the last couple months. A really big escalation in it, so we're not sure if we're going to keep that going. But anyways, that's where you go. If you want to reach me, you can find us on my Twitter handle, at Maj Geo Investing. You can find Geo Investing at Geo Investing. And I think we have a Twitter handle now, too, for MS.
MS Microcaps. Yep.
MS cool. Microcaps, yeah.
Very cool. All right, dudes. Well, thank you again for this. This is a lot of fun. I'm excited to keep this up. And, you know, have a good week. Best of luck to the index, and we'll go from there.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks,
later.
Bobby.
Later, guys.
Thanks.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not an offer or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell securities. SNN Network, SNN Inc., and the Planet Microcap Podcast and the representatives are not licensed brokers, broker-dealers, market makers, investment bankers, investment advisors, analysts, or underwriters. We do not recommend any companies discussed. We may buy and sell securities in any company mentioned and may profit in the event those securities rise in value. We recommend you consult with a professional investment advisor, broker, or legal counsel before purchasing or selling any securities referenced in this podcast.